Let's make a deal. It's the news. According to me. It's Wednesday, Trash Day. It's wishy-washy Wednesday, 7:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your opinionator this morning. It is, Wednesday, July 23rd, 7:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I don't know if I've made that point clear what day it is today. It's that day. That's the day right there. It's the time. That's the stamp on this day. Welcome. Welcome to the show, folks. Welcome to the news, according to me. I'm here this morning. I'm still in my home studio. I will be heading out today. I have to do a little trip, a little trippy trip up to Appleton, Wisconsin later today. And then I have to, it's a very short night there, actually. And then I've got to head out of there early in the morning and get to White Plains. So there you go. And then hopefully get home at a decent hour on Friday so I can head off right away to go to a reunion. Get back on Sunday, and then I go back to work again. I travel again on Monday. I don't even know where I go. I haven't even looked at that. I could look at it right now. I could do that. It's possible. I have that kind of technology here, right here in my pocket. Oh, yeah. I'll end up in... well, that's bizarre. Yeah, I ended up in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Monday morning, there will be a show, probably Monday morning, a show. There will be a show here from the Indiana headquarters, then from Fayetteville. And then it looks like possibly Bakersfield, California. I don't know. That's all up in the air at this point. Who knows? Just to fill you in. Hey, call the show. This is the show about where I express my opinion, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. However, I am, I do have an opinion, and I share that with you. And along with that opinion, you can let me know what your opinion of my opinion is. You can share your opinion about my opinion, and then we'll go from there. You can call the show or text the show, leave a message. It's a hotline. There's no live calling the show because I record this, but just call 812-379-8778, call or text that, or you can go to google.com/voice, put that number in there, and you can, from anywhere in the world, well, most places in the world. I don't think North Korea will allow you to do it, but if you're in North Korea, you probably can't hear this show, unless you're getting it bootlegged somehow. Good for you if you are. Anyway, you probably can't understand it, because I don't speak Korean very well. I do speak some Korean. Not much, not conversationally, that's for sure. More importantly, what's in my cup here this morning? I have chai with my Almond Joy creamer. I also have homemade sweet peach tea that has peaches actually in it. I put peaches in it, which makes it peachy, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. It's pretty good. So here we are. We have a few things going on. I'm not going to play any excerpts from this, but maybe you guys haven't heard it, but Trump had a speech yesterday and talked about the trade deals that have been made, Philippines, Japan, I think another day, or some other country. I can't remember what it was. And it's a big deal. These are big deals. Now, what ends up happening typically is, and one of the things that people don't talk about with these trade deals is we basically are in competition with Japan. With China, and Japan has been a major, very good trade partner over the years. But in terms of product and the trade relationship we have with them, however. It has been lopsided, like every other trade deal we have with any other country, and so they end up getting into this tariff thing, try to balance things out. And it's actually working now, because the main objective here is not to squeeze Canada out, or not to punish anybody of our allies. That's not what it's for. It's to rebalance this whole thing. China kind of stands at the crux of this whole thing, and that's where the issue really is. The trade imbalance. You see, because anything we don't deal with, in other words, if we can't strike a deal with someone in the Philippines or make it you know, equity with someone, you know, kind of equalize things. I don't want to use the word equity because that's kind of got a bad connotation right now, but the ability to kind of equalize things across the board in terms of trade is, you know, if we lose a trade partner, if we lose products being shipped, produced from another country, they're probably going to be going to China. So for everything we get to keep away from China is a plus in our pocket. So it kind of has a compounding effect. Like I don't know any easy way to explain that without a graphic and a chart and a diagram, but to understand that. I'm not an economics expert, but I do kind of figure, this is basic math stuff. What we have is we have a severe balancing effect happening throughout the world. Now, this can cause a couple different issues, and of course this puts the squeeze on China, and that problem with that is they could get upset about that, and of course they could start retaliating in very different, you know, various different ways, and including, you know, well, you know, launching a. Well, I don't know, the whole pandemic thing. I'm not even going to get into that. It's just I have some serious suspicions. I don't even think China's at the heart of it. I think they were. Of course, they're obviously a part of it. But I think that there were other factors involved in that whole thing. I'm not going to get into it. And of course, I will be condemned and confused and called a conspiracy theorist. Which, you know, that's when there's a theory about a conspiracy, that's what you start with. When you have a theory about someone having committed a crime, that's a crime theory. These are the kind of things we do. It's just theory is a theory until it's, you know, proven true. There was a theory that it came from a lab, and of course you were ridiculed and sometimes deplatformed if you said it came from a lab. Because that wasn't the official narrative that they wanted you to say. Of course, then when they found out it came from a lab, people didn't get any kind of exoneration from that. There was no reformations from that. And so it has been a. What is? I don't know what my dog is chewing on down there. I buy him chew toys, and then he ends up just chewing on cardboard. I don't know. But let's just take a look. Oh, he's just chewing on his paw. I think he might have a little bit of an allergy. Anyway, on and upwards. So this whole thing with China, and what's happening there in terms of the conspiracy theories, the whole thing with all the different aspects of all that. Yeah, good boy. He's laying on his little bed over there. Okay, that's been the big news right now. It's been all over the place. The whole trade thing. Yesterday, the last couple of days, actually, I've been talking about this whole thing with Obama and all these people who were involved. This, speaking of conspiracies, there was a conspiracy to undermine the presidency of the United States. When Trump was in 2016, 2017, actually his first year in office, the main thing was it was considered a soft coup, and now it's finally being called a soft coup by many other people. Trump called this thing a coup years ago, even while he was still in office. He said there was an attempted coup against him. And that's exactly what it was. They were trying to oust him and trying to decredit him and saying he was an illegitimate president, that he needed to be removed from office, and basically not just removed from office, but also that the other candidate would have been, you know, put back in place. And that's what they were attempting to do. They thought that if they could pull that off with the American people, that's what they were going to try to do. Now, keep in mind, my dog is getting goofy. In 2020, 81 million people supposedly voted for Joe Biden, even though more people voted for Donald Trump than any other Republican Party candidate ever before in the history of the country. Somehow, still, people showed up, and I put that in air quotes, you can't see them, but they somehow, all these other people showed up who didn't show up, surprisingly, in 2024 for Kamala. Now, we were told that because people hated Donald Trump so much, that's why so many people showed up. That was the theory back in 2020. But in 2024, apparently not enough people hated Donald Trump to show up to vote for Kamala. Because it wasn't about Joe Biden in 2020, supposedly. It wasn't just about him being such a wonderful, you know, popular guy. This is a guy who could hardly, almost didn't make it through the primary. Keep in mind, in the 2020 election, they had to finagle and do some serious backpedaling and choosing and whipping and do all kinds of stuff to get Joe Biden on the ticket through the primary process in 2020. He has ran for president, I think, every election cycle. Well, he's in the primary anyway. He's run in the primary. I think every major election cycle through since as long as I can remember. I think at least since the 90s, he's put himself out there as a potential presidential candidate. It has never gotten more than 2% of the primary vote. Never. So to think that this guy was that popular somehow, all of a sudden popular in 2020, all of a sudden he's popular. And his pick for VP, of course, based on being a woman and being a black woman. I don't know what she is now, today. I don't know what. And then she loses miserably, even though we were told once again. Now, there was this really interesting, I wish I could find this. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was on Memeology. I'm pretty sure is where I saw this. I'm going to go back in my history. This is one thing I do actually want to play because I think it's worth listening to because this CNN reporter of all people, I thought this, no, it wasn't a short, it was a Memeology, so that would have to have been. See where did it go? Memeology. I don't know. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. That's not there. Even though that's Memeology. It's not there. See here. It's gone. It's just disappeared. Actually, if I just go to their channel, let's just do that. I think this is probably the best way to get to the. Yeah, that's not going to do it. I don't. Yeah, there he went. Okay. All right, this is, I don't think it was a short. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a short. I guess maybe it wasn't Memeology. Well, that's interesting. As I don't see it here anywhere. Maybe, did he put it out as a short? Maybe, no, I don't know. Nope, it's not there either. That's very interesting. It is gone. I don't know. Well, okay. Okay, well, anyway, what happens is this lady is being, she's a representative, a Democrat representative. I think she works for the DNC as well. She's something to do with the DNC, the Planning Commission, whatever she's on there with the DNC, whatever it is. She goes on with this whole story about how let's see, what does she say? She says something about to the effect of, you know, we're now popular, you know, with we're gaining our we got momentum in our voting base when the Democrat Party is united and all starts talking about all this stuff about how the Democrat Party is all on top of this. And in the process of this whole thing, unfortunately, she gets challenged by this reporter. And the reporter says, the polls aren't really showing what you're saying there. The polls aren't, aren't going along with what you're saying there. Are you sure about this? It seems to be a disconnect here. She actually uses the word disconnect. And what's funny about that is that she continues to double down. She goes back, and you can almost see it in this reporter's face. It's like, we can't keep doing this. We can't keep trying to just say it's raining and pee on somebody's leg. You can't live in denial here. You can't just live in this la-la land of everything's great, everything's wonderful because we say it is. The tail wagging the dog kind of thing. And that's where they've gone with this. And that's the only that's the only thing in their playbook. That's the only thing they have. They just continue to do it to try to convince people. And the whole thing that they do, the reason they do this is to get people confident in donating. They need people to donate because we have a chance of winning, but we just need more donations. Just your donation is going to make the difference. Donate now and we can defeat Donald Trump. That's what their whole thing is here. We're so close. And in reality, these reporters who are actually, kind of steeped in this stuff, they're looking at it going, this isn't what's happening. I don't know how we're going to pull this off. It's not what you're saying here isn't really what's going on. So, and they continue, and she's trying to give her, a break here, a way out. And of course, it's not happening. So they don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do. And they just continue to double down on it. And the reporter's like, okay, we've tried this a couple times now. We tried this with Hillary. We tried this with, Kamala. And what we found out is that this doesn't work. This denial thing. Living in denial. And unfortunately, I think that they're trying to convince themselves of these things, and they just don't, they have no, like I said, there's no self-awareness. There's no legitimate understanding, awareness of what's going on. So I'm still clicking through trying to find this, and I can't find it at all. I don't know what happened to it. Finding all these other, I'm at the end of my shorts for the day. I'm at the end of my shorts. Yeah, I don't know where it was. Very interesting though. Okay, so having said all that, I read this thing this morning about how this is all going down. They've got Hillary, they got Obama, they got all these people. They're gonna go after them all. They're gonna get them. Now Hillary doesn't have presidential immunity that everybody talks about, and I don't know if that's going to be a. I think that just people just want to stop hearing about Hillary Clinton. There's been this thing about her going to prison for a long time. Everybody, there's a lot of people who would like to see her go to prison. She has definitely committed crimes that she fully well knew what she was doing. And of course, what Comey said basically was that she wasn't sophisticated enough to understand the consequences of what she was doing with her server and all that stuff that she was doing, all of her emails that she deleted and all the devices that she used that she lied about before Congress. She just wasn't, she wasn't sophisticated enough to understand all that. Well, she wanted to be president. But she wasn't sophisticated to understand when she was committing crimes and doing crazy things with classified documents. However, Donald Trump has classified documents that they knew where they were. They were locked up in this room that was inspected, locked. And yet, he's the criminal. He's the guy that did the raid on. Now, that raid was all a part of this whole scheme. This was all when you look into these what Tulsi Gabbard has released now, apparently, it implicates all this stuff. Everything that happened throughout this whole process of Donald Trump's presidency, when they went after his the Mar-a-Lago raid after he left office, they really thought they were going to they needed to defeat him in a way that was going to discredit him and actually disqualify him. They were trying to find a way to disqualify him from ever running again. If he was such an unpopular guy and a terrible person, and then why in the world would they have to worry about? You would think it'd be very easy for them to find a candidate who was so much better than Trump if he was such a bad guy. Why were they so terrified of the fact the guy might be reelected again? This is the kind of common sense reasoning they just don't have the ability to do that. They don't ask any questions like that. They never ask a critical question of themselves. It's just all about how can we frantically run and throw darts at the wall and hope one of them sticks. That's just all they do. It's they don't have any kind of contemplative moment where they now don't get me wrong. I think that when I say Obama, Obama was the curator of all this stuff. Don't get me wrong here. It wasn't Obama himself that sat on, was working through the night, drawing up plans and sharing them with his team. That's not what was going on here. Obama probably had, he was along for the ride. I'm sure he had a lot of input. I'm sure he got, involved in the conversations, and I'm sure he was somewhat a leader in the process. As I've said, Valerie Jarrett was really running the show there, but when I talk about Obama, I'm talking about his insiders, the inside team there that he was Obama. Obama in and of himself is not much of a leader at all. He didn't lead the nation. He just divided the nation. That's not what a leader does. And of course, the left, the Democrats, have no leaders in there. It's very obvious. Let's take a step back here and just take a look at what's going on. Who is the divisive party right now? Who has been the divisive party over the past, I would say, 20 years, more? I would say it stretches back into the 90s, but it was simmering back then. I think it's just came to a boil at the point when Donald Trump was running for president, and maybe it was in a pressure cooker during the time that Obama was president for those 8 years, simply because he was held up by the identity thing, but the divisive party here, trying to divide the nation. So, if you take a step back from this for just a moment and take a look, the Democrat Party right now is coming apart at the seams. It is literally, they're trying to fight for, everybody's trying to be the leader. Everybody's trying to step forward as they want to be a populist leader, not a leader who has leadership, who has visionary, but the one who can talk the slickest, look the part, have all the right, say all the right things, and have the balance of everything that they're talking about. Be able to communicate well. They don't have a plan. They don't have any platform. They have no really, well, the agenda that they have, they can't really publish because it's too radical. But they have to be able to do that. Who comes to mind when you think about slick, polished, able to speak out of both sides of his mouth? Who comes to mind at that point? Not going to mention any names, but it rhymes with Gavin Newsom. And so here we are with this. They have no leadership. And there are plenty of people, Cory Booker and everybody else is trying to get their popularity ratings up because it's all about, it's popular. For the Democrats, it's a popularity contest. That's what it is with them. They don't care about policy. The popularity contest is what they do is they'll just spout out all the talking points, say all the things, all the woke stuff that needs to be said, all the different agenda stuff that they've got going on, all about women's health care and women's this and just whatever it is that they're talking about. Reproductive rights. They talk about that. They talk about abortion. Say all the right things, use all the right words, align yourself with the right places, with immigration, everything else. And then what they do is they step forward with that. And then they just want to be the most popular at that point. It's all about gaining popularity. It has nothing to do with leadership. Now is it Stephen, what is the guy's name? Stephen something? Stephen, he was a sports guy, and he's Stephen, it's not Stephen Miller, is it Stephen, whatever his name is. Let me type it in here and see if it pops up. It might actually pop up. Stephen. I don't know how he spells it. He might spell it that way. No. Is it Stephen A. Smith? Is that the guy's name? Let's see if that's what it is. Yes, it's Stephen A. Smith. Okay, good. Now, the interesting thing about this is, somebody like that is actually coming out and kind of shooting straight with people and kind of developing. Now, he doesn't have a platform, doesn't have anything. It's, again, he's strongly opinionated individual, and I think people can get behind that. But I think he has a realistic view of where the Democrat Party is and how what the problems are. And I think he's actually taken a good look at that. He's actually analyzing it, I think, from a purely analytical mindset, which goes contrary to what most of the Democrats do, how the Democratic Party operates, I didn't say Democratic. It sounded almost like it, but I'm going to correct myself. So And what's interesting about all of that is how there are people in the Democrat Party, or they consider themselves to be Democrats or independents, but they're really Democrats, they're leftist, who are vying for a position, and they're getting more and more involved in politics, and there's what's her name, Jillian, what's her name, and then you got Anna Kasparian, some of these people who were leftists. Who are kind of waking up to the fact that there's a lot of issues going on here that they're struggling with. Because they see the flimsy platform that they're on, and they don't like it. And eventually, as your brain develops, you start, There's the old joke that Ronald Reagan used to tell all the time. This little kid who was at this event. This is a really elaborate joke. There's a lot of thought that went into this joke. The Democrats were having a fundraiser at this venue, and this little boy was out front, and he was selling cats. And he said, these are Democrat cats. He was selling these Democrat cats at this fundraiser. Outside the venue. And so, the reporters were asking him questions, and it was kind of a cute little thing. Oh, this guy has a little CC selling Democrat cats. Well, about 3 weeks later, the same kid shows up, and the Republicans are having a fundraiser at the same venue. This one reporter that was at the previous one, he said, wait a minute. These are the same cats. And you said these were Democrat cats 3 weeks ago. What's going on? We said, well, they were, but now their eyes are open. It's kind of one of those things that when you stop, it almost kind of catches you off guard. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant joke. It's funny, and yet it makes the point. And it's cute too.
It's cute and fuzzy because it's got fuzzy kittens in it. That's okay. What could be better? Fuzzy kittens. Maybe fuzzy bunnies. Anyway, So this happens quite often among Democrats, especially the people who are opinionated out there, pundits, the Bill Kristols of the world, the establishment Republicans. They will never change, and they will go right along with the Democrat establishment. Who was it that recently came out? It was an interview. I can't remember who the guy was. I'll remember it as I'm talking about this. He starts talking about if Kamala had gotten elected. Oh, this was Jeff. What's the guy's name? Jeff. Not Goldblum. It's the guy from Michigan. He lived in Michigan. He's whatever. He was in Dumb and Dumber. He played opposite of Jim Carrey. He was his co-star. Jeff, what's his name? Anyway, he was in this interview and he was talking about how what's her name? Kamala. And she would have been a Lincoln-esque president. She would have actually appointed what's her name? Liz Cheney as her Secretary of State or whatever it was, I think it was Secretary of State. Even though they disagreed on things, disagreed, but yet she would have, what exactly did she disagree with on it? Liz Cheney pretty much at the end there, she's still at the end. You don't hear much from her anymore, do you? The left used her, tossed her away. You won't hear where all these people go. Adam Kinzinger, for example, he's probably still contributing to MSNBC or CNN, but you don't see him around much anymore. Probably see him about as much as you do Peter Strzok or Andy McKay. Andy McKay was actually a contributor on MSNBC and CNN, and yet they still. They're going to be fighting this lawsuit. Now there was an official response, by the way, from the not Obama himself, from one of his spokespeople, came out and made a comment about the thing and made a formal comment addressing the issue of the crimes that were committed by the Obama administration during 2016 election. After the 2016 election, during the election cycle itself, when they were spying on Trump, so all this stuff was going on, as well as in 2020 is going on as well. But the main thing was that Obama was in charge of the whole thing, and was directing his intelligence officers and everybody else in this process. And so this is why it all revolves around Obama and his, again, not Obama, his inside circle, the people who were actually controlling everything, and his think tank, his closest confidants, his team, who were concocting all this stuff and coming up with it and making this whole thing happen. Of course, then the Steele dossier became a part of that whole thing. The whole thing was. It has been this behind-the-scenes, undercover crime scene and crime family thing, a mafia-like type thing going on since Trump got involved in the politics, the political realm. And so now they've come out with some kind of a statement. I'm not even sure what it's. It was a pretty much a know-nothing. This is just the same old rhetoric. This is not, this shouldn't even be, we're not even going to take this seriously. It's not, this is ridiculous. It's just a, again, just much like he said, ISIS, was it ISIS that was the B team? Who was that came out after the one terrorist group that they were going after, and then this other terrorist group shows up. I think it was Al-Qaeda was the big one. And then, of course, ISIS was the B team. Of course, then, of course, ISIS became one of the most powerful terrorist organizations throughout the Middle East and had more influence than Al-Qaeda ever did. They're the B team, according to Obama. Oh, they're nothing to worry about. They're the B team. Much like this documents and all the stuff that they're going after now is nothing to it. I say so, therefore it is. That's the way it is. That's the way these people think. So that's what's happening right now. We'll see how this all unfolds. And I'm going to be pondering some of these things throughout the day, kind of listening to some reporters throughout the morning and throughout the afternoon. Probably have a show late this evening that I will post tomorrow morning, and I'll give you just a little bit more. And it's going to be on my laptop, so of course it'll be a little bit shorter of a show. Much like today's show is going to be a little bit shorter because I just got a lot of things to do before I head out of here. But that's kind of where things are at right now. I'm just going to leave them there. I'm not going to go too deep into any of this because, first of all, another thing too is that the markets are reflecting these trade deals. Stock market has gone up significantly. It's quite interesting what's going on there. Stock market is, like it or not, it's a reactive thing. It's kind of a barometer. I wouldn't say it's necessarily, get too worried about it or get too involved with what's going on with it. It's just it's nice to look at once in a while and go, oh, okay, that's consumer confidence. You kind of see a lot of things there when you look at something like that, but it's not something that I wouldn't, it's not, it's like the weather. It's going to stick around. It'll change. So we have the weather in Indiana anyway, at least in northern Indiana. In the meantime, I'm going to drink my chai and go on about my day. I'll try to find that one. There's some video clips I'm going to try to play for you. Next week, I think, will be a little bit easier to have some shows, even though I'm going to be on the road. Hopefully have a little bit better idea of what's going on. I'm going to prepare some things over the weekend. So that's going to happen. Again, call the show 812-379-8778. You can call or text, leave a message. If you don't want you can change your name if you want to. You don't have to give me your name. You can make an alias up. You can be, Fritz Wagner. Whatever you're going to be. You can be whoever you want to be there. And you can be. You can just send a text message, google.com/voice, if you want to do it that way. And I will play your audio, unless you tell me not to, or I will read your question, or I will look into something that you suggest. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.